Hi, I'm Joy Moore. This is That's So Atlanta, the podcast. Today is May 5th, 2020. Over 70,000 Americans have died from COVID-19 novel coronavirus. And at this time, the virus is still spreading. A lot of people do not realize the impact of this pandemic if they haven't felt it personally. So if they haven't been impacted health-wise or economically, they don't realize how severe this crisis is. And in my opinion, it will worsen over the next few months. It will not just worsen as a public health emergency, but it will also worsen as an economic emergency. Donald J. Trump has repeatedly shown that he doesn't care about doing what is right. If he cannot benefit from it, he will not do it. Many times we've met people who have those kind of personalities. It's about personality types. People who are selfish, self-serving, narcissistic, angry, miserable, vindictive, vile, bullies, they're cowards, they're deceitful, deceptive, devious, they lie, they steal, they cheat, they're corrupt, they're predators. And to see someone who showed that he had that kind of personality for years be placed into the presidency, it's really detrimental to America. What has happened with the Republican Party is some of the Republicans have basically allowed Donald J. Trump and Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, to take over the Republican Party. And they are doing whatever they want to do. Don't forget, Donald J. Trump said last year, Article 2, referring to the Constitution, he said, Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want. When he was asked about his responsibility during this COVID-19 novel coronavirus pandemic, he said, I don't take any responsibility. Donald J. Trump, he tells you who he is repeatedly. You just have to listen. He shows you repeatedly who he is. You have to look at his actions. The problem is that this virus will continue to spread until, according to doctors and scientists, the majority of the population has been infected or there is a vaccine that can be distributed to the majority of the population. So let's talk about what the media is reporting at this point in time. I have said for weeks that there has not been enough media reports about how COVID-19 novel coronavirus shows up in children, babies, teenagers, and healthy adults under the age of 40. I think a lot of people are not aware that their babies, children, teenagers can become infected with COVID-19 novel coronavirus. And because so often when you first have these symptoms, you may not realize how severe the illness is. You may think it's a cold. You may think it's allergies. You may think it's stress-related. We have to see how people have recovered from this virus. What kind of treatment did they get? What were their symptoms? And it's very difficult when you have a president, Donald J. Trump, who insists on misleading, misinforming, and deceiving the American public. He has repeatedly tried to censor the public health experts who should be guiding us through this national public health emergency. I continuously ask, where is the CDC? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We have really smart people working there. We have really intelligent people working there who have the medical degrees, the expertise needed to guide us through this crisis. And we had them at the beginning of the emergency, and Donald J. Trump made sure to sideline them and take over. They could have their own briefings. Just because he decided to continue to lie and deceive the American public, it doesn't mean that the public health experts should not continue informing us what is going on. They have to continue to inform us about the severity of this crisis. If people forget what kind of virus we're dealing with, they will become complacent. We have to make sure that we stay well aware of what's going on, well informed, and we recognize that this is a public health emergency that is not going away anytime soon unless we have a vaccine that is available to the majority of the population. Now, let's talk about Mitch McConnell. I read a really long article available on www.newyorker.com. How Mitch McConnell became Trump's enabler-in-chief. The Senate Majority Leader's refusal to rein in the president is looking riskier than ever. McConnell, who's far less popular than Trump in Kentucky, rose in state polls after defending him at the impeachment trial. This was written by Jane Mayer, published April 12, 2020, and it is a very long article, so if you want to listen to the audio, it's available on the website. The audio is 1 hour and 22 minutes long. And there's also a podcast, Politics and More Podcast, Mitch McConnell, the Most Dangerous Politician in America. Mitch McConnell was first elected to the Senate in 1984, but he didn't come to national prominence until the Obama presidency when, as a Senate Majority Leader, he emerged as one of the administration's most unyielding and effective legislative opponents. In the past 2 years, McConnell has put his political skills to work in support of Donald Trump's agenda, despite the lasting damage that his maneuvering is doing to the Senate and to American democracy. Jane Mayer joins Dorothy Wickenden to discuss how and why McConnell, who faces re-election this year, became one of Trump's staunchest allies. This podcast is 19 minutes and 45 seconds long. Now, I wanted to talk about an article from the New York Times. And this article is from March 16, 2020 by Carl Halls. It says, McConnell has a request for veteran federal judges. Please quit. The Senate Majority Leader has encouraged judges thinking about stepping down to do so soon to ensure that Republicans confirm their replacements this year. Running out of federal court vacancies to fill, Senate Republicans have been quietly making overtures to sitting Republican-nominated judges who are eligible to retire to urge them to step aside so they can be replaced while the party still holds the Senate and the White House. Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, who has used his position as majority leader to build a judicial confirmation juggernaut for President Trump over the past 3 years, has begun personally reaching out to judges to sound them out on their plans and assure them that they would have a worthy successor if they gave up their seats soon, according to multiple people with knowledge of his actions. It was not known how many judges were contacted or which of them Mr. McConnell had spoken to directly. One of his Republican colleagues said others had also initiated outreach in an effort to heighten awareness among judges nominated by Presidents Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush that making a change now would be advantageous. The overt effort by Republicans to create vacancies reflects a realization that Mr. Trump could lose the presidency or that Republicans could lose the Senate majority and deprive Mr. Trump of his partner on judicial confirmations, even if he did gain a second term. Now, I have to say that it's very important that people recognize who's in government, who's doing what, who's saying what, who has control, who's serving the public, and who's serving themselves. So much of what government does impacts our lives. And most often, the people who are disadvantaged, the people who do not have the wealth and the connections in society, are the ones being impacted the most severely by these decisions that government makes. And it's really important that we stay well-informed and aware of what is going on. Now let's continue with some of this article. Mike Davis, a former nomination counsel for Senate Republicans who created the Article 3 Project, a conservative judicial advocacy group, said that he still expected Mr. Trump to win, but that we have to hope for the best and plan for the worst. Republicans are reminding the judges that it could be another 8 years, 2029, before they could leave under a Republican president. Mr. Davis estimated that judges would need to decide by late summer or early fall to provide sufficient time for a nomination and confirmation. Now, the issue with people in government who are selfish and self-serving and they're corrupt and conniving, they're callous and cold, and they do not care about humanity, and they exhibit this repeatedly through their actions that hurt people in society, is that they will do whatever it takes to make sure that they accomplish their miserable misdeeds. And so often at every level of government, and you can see this in your own community when you look the media reports what's going on in corruption in communities across America. Too often, there is not enough accountability and oversight for people in government. So if a government employee or a government official wants to engage in behavior that is unethical and corrupt, very often it can seem like it's easy for them to get away with it. If we have our votes and they are respected and they are received and they are not dismissed and disregarded and suppressed, we have the power in our vote. If you are eligible to vote and you choose not to vote, that is your choice. However, everyone who is eligible to vote and exercises their right to vote, our votes need to be respected. We have to make sure that we have people in government who respect this democracy. We have people in society who have struggled for years financially, health-wise, with trying to get a decent education. And the problem with this pandemic is that not only do we have a failure of leadership in Donald J. Trump, who does not care to lead in a positive and proactive way, it continues to scapegoat, lie, deceive, and blame, but we have so many problems that have existed in society for years. Once again, showing up to the surface, people are having to pay attention. You can't just ignore the people in the food lines. You can't just ignore the people on the streets anymore. You can't ignore the people sleeping in the airports and the subways that are homeless. You can't ignore them anymore. They are crying out for help. And what's frustrating is that so many people, they want wealthy people to fix the problems we have in society. And that's great. I feel like government, like I said before, needs to make sure that wealthy individuals and corporations pay their fair share in taxes, stop giving them all these tax cuts and tax loopholes, and make sure that we use that money to help people in society live better lives, not just some of those politicians who want to help their cronies and enablers and sycophants get away with all kinds of misdeeds. And I'll talk more about that in a future podcast. If we tax the wealthy individuals and corporations that make millions and billions of dollars a year from American consumers, we can take that money and not only supply the universal basic income, but we can make sure that Americans have adequate and excellent housing. We can make sure that Americans have excellent access to education. We can make sure Americans have the universal basic income they need. We can make sure we have a $20 per hour minimum wage. We can make sure that we have excellent and affordable health care to all, and people have access to it. We need people in government who care. And yes, we have those people now. And I'm thankful for people in government who do what's right, and they're empathetic and honest and intelligent and competent and compassionate. They have integrity and morals and values. But we need everyone in government to have that. We need everyone in government to care about not censoring the public health experts during a public health emergency. We need people in government who care about not firing so many people in government who are supposed to be looking at society and making sure things are working as they're supposed to be working, who are doing their jobs. Donald J. Trump has fired inspector generals. He has retaliated against those in government who speak out against his lies, corruption, his predatory misdeeds. He said Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want. And as we can see, as a nation, he's continuing to do that. And who is suffering? It's to our detriment. It's to our detriment. And what bothers me the most is that Donald J. Trump has shown us that he is not an honest person. He does not care about doing what is right. So imagine the next 6 months with this man in office. We have the election, and then we have to wait until January for the inauguration of our next president. He lost the popular vote in 2016. He's not going to win it again. But what about this voter suppression? I read an article from an Economist. I can't remember where I read the article, but it was in 2015. And the Economist said not only would Donald J. Trump cause a recession if he was placed into the presidency, but he would win 2 terms as president of the United States. And I read that article and I said to myself, well, how will he win 2 terms if he's causing a recession? We have to make sure that our votes are recognized. People are so much smarter than we give them credit for. We can see that this pandemic is something that has impacted America. And Donald J. Trump can no longer spend weeks golfing and grinning and holding rallies, calling COVID-19 novel coronavirus a Democratic hoax, telling people to stay calm, it'll just go away. He can't do that anymore. He tried to ignore it, but like I said, some of the governors declared states of emergencies and he wasn't doing anything to stop this dire crisis. So he has to accept responsibility for his failures. He said, I don't take any responsibility, and he never will, because he likes to scapegoat other people for his failures. So how will America get through this crisis when Donald J. Trump has repeatedly try to sabotage the governors who are doing so much to help their constituents? How will America navigate through this crisis? It's going to be a Great Depression. It is a public health emergency. And we have a president who doesn't care, has repeatedly shown he does not care about humanity. He does not care about public health. He does not believe science and facts, truth and data. He tries to distort reality. He lies and deceives. He bullies. He blames. How? I'm not going to lose hope, because we have to remember that our voices are powerful. We can use our voices for positive change. All of this fighting and arguing and blaming that is going on, I don't have time for that negativity. You know what amazes me is that Donald J. Trump and Peter Navarro knows what's going on. He's not a dummy. He, according to news reports, warned Donald J. Trump in a memo in January of 2020 about how severe this pandemic was going to be. So he knows what's going on. Both he and Donald J. Trump in media this week, they used the term doom and gloom. Doom and gloom? This doom and gloom y'all talk about could have been avoided if y'all had acted proactively like you know you should have in January. But every single day that Donald J. Trump continues to spend hours on Twitter, hours in the media lying and attacking people, America still does not have enough tests for the population, enough contact tracing, and we still don't have a comprehensive, cohesive, coordinated action plan to guide America through this public health and economic emergency. Donald J. Trump still has not developed a plan where experts who care about doing what is right can help America through this crisis. In fact, there are news reports today that he's trying to disband the coronavirus pandemic response team. This crisis isn't over. Why is what so much that Donald J. Trump does a detriment to American society? Think about it. He keeps talking about death and destruction, and we can't destroy America. What is he trying to do? He could have easily stepped aside and acknowledged the fact that he is a terrible president. He's not a nice person. And he could have said, you know what? We have doctors and public health experts who care about our country. I'm going to let them inform the American public about the severity of this crisis. He didn't even want to do that. Just remember that if we do not work together as a country to make sure that we have more wealth equality, a better quality of life, more access to excellent education and health care, and we help people have a better quality of life in America, this will impact us for years in the future. We have to work together. Yes, it's great if people are still believing that this virus will just go away. Well, that's great if you believe that, but it's not going to go away without a unified response. We need a vaccine, we need a cure, and we do not need blame and division and scapegoating from Donald J. Trump. I do want to believe that this virus will one day go away as well, but how much suffering will America have to endure while we wait for a vaccine? How much more division and deception from Donald J. Trump will America have to endure while we wait for a vaccine? There are so many government officials who are trying to help this country, and they want to make sure that people can get through this crisis as best as they have the power to help people. And they're working to help people. But like I said, Donald J. Trump is actively, and you can see this, trying to sabotage, for some reason, trying to sabotage America. I don't know why he's doing this. What is his problem? What are his intentions? Listen to what Donald J. Trump says. Listen to his words. Look at what he does. I'm watching him today with David Muir on ABC News. And David Muir said to him, what would he say to the Americans, 30 million who have filed for unemployment since mid-March? And Donald J. Trump says it is what it is. Excuse me? It is what it is. If he had acted in January of 2020, instead of golfing and grinning, he could have, like I said, been proactive and helped the West Coast, who was dealing with this emergency before the rest of the country even knew it was a problem. And we could have worked as a country to make sure that we had the testing and the personal protection equipment and the ventilators that we needed, the test that we so desperately needed. And we would not have had to shut down the entire country if we had started making sure that we tested people, if we had made sure that we shut down international travel earlier, stopped with the cruises earlier, accurately informed the public about the severity of this crisis earlier, and said, this is what's happening. It may impact how we go about our day-to-day activities. Can you imagine if we could have just had America just not have to shut down, not have to shut down so many retail stores, restaurants, shut down the schools and college campuses? And what bothers me the most is that there are some people that are still talking about opening up the college campuses when this virus just flourishes when people congregate. When people congregate, it flourishes. It spreads faster. So you're talking about opening up the school campuses and the colleges and the universities. We already see how this virus has spread through the prisons and jails, the meatpacking plants, the homes for the elderly and the senior citizens. We need to figure out a plan. And Donald J. Trump is not going to give us a plan that's going to help America. I don't know why Donald J. Trump is so intent on hurting America, but I just know that it's not going to work with him and Mitch McConnell continuing to dominate the Republican Party and dictate what they do. It's to our detriment, and it needs to stop. So, like I said, we need to make sure that we vote. Our votes will not be disrespected or suppressed or disregarded or ignored again. We need to make sure that we have people in government who care about doing what is right for humanity, not just for themselves. And we have to make sure that we stay accurately informed and make sure we stay aware of what is going on